Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our second reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2. Well, the other day was my wife Donna's birthday, and well, one thing that the family likes to do when it's somebody's birthday is they get to choose where we go out for dinner. Now, so whoever's birthday it is, okay, they get to pick. And so sometimes it could be anywhere from Burger King or on up. That was Burger King because that's where we let our kids pick, you know, so sometimes they'd pick there. And fortunately, though, as their taste buds matured, so did the choice of restaurant. It was nice. So, well, there's one time that Donna, it was her birthday, and so we went to this particular restaurant that she enjoyed going to, and so we all ate, had a good time there, paid with my debit card. Now, a couple of days later, I was checking bank account there, and I noticed that there was a charge for $678. And I'm like, I didn't do that. So I called up the bank and I said, hey, you know, I've got a charge on here on my account that's like, that wasn't me. And they're like, okay. And what it turned out to be, it was a sporting good company out in California. Somebody had used my card and bought $678 worth of hockey equipment and shipping it out to another state. So I said, hey, that's not me. And so one of the questions that they ask you is like, well, was the card ever out of your sight? Well, normally, that's never the case. The only place I could think of was that at this particular restaurant. So needless to say, after we got that all cleared up, I thought that if we ever go back to that restaurant again, I'm going to be paying with cash, and that's it. Well, these days, it seems kind of hard where to know to put your trust. Or to put it another way, who is going to be faithful with their responsibilities? And it's that latter one there that, well, that fits so well for our three readings for today. So let's take a look at why that is works. Because we're going to be looking at who is faithful and who is not. Now, when we consider our Old Testament lesson here for today, we've got Ruth, Ruth's sister-in-law, and Ruth's mother-in-law. All right, so they're all together there. And, well, they're in dire straits there. Why? Because, well, the mother-in-law's husband died. Her two sons died there, so Ruth's husband died, and her sister-in-law's husband died. So there they are. They're all three widows there. And, well, what are they going to do? Now, Naomi there decides that, well, she's going to go back to Judah and tells her daughter-in-laws that it's like, hey, you know, I don't have any more sons here who would be obligated to marry their brother's widows. It's like, don't have any. I'm too old for all of this. It's like, so you girls go back to your families, all right? You know, I'm going to pray the Lord to get you another husband, and you'll be okay. Well, the one daughter-in-law decides, all right, well, that's what she's going to do. But Ruth, on the other hand, she said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. So Ruth did stay faithful with Naomi. Okay, she remarried. And the descendant of that marriage there ended up being Jesus. Now, Jesus. That brings us to our gospel reading for today. Now, here we have Jesus there and the 10 lepers there. And, you know, they're saying, Jesus, Master, you know, have pity on us. And so Jesus says, go off to show yourselves to the priests. Okay? If somebody was healed, that was the proper thing to do. So you go to the priest there, and he examines the person there to make sure that they no longer have leprosy. So that's what they're supposed to do. So the 10 of them went off to go to the priest. They realized they were healed, and so one came back. Gave thanks to Jesus. Now, the interesting thing is, you're just like, well, why use that as one about being faithful or not? It's just a healing, right? Well, no, it gives us a clue as to God's character. You see, God wants to have all people be saved. So he is going after the outcast. He is going after the sinner. He is going after those who need to be healed. And so that contrasts then when we start to look at who came back to give thanks. Out of those 10, 9 did not. So it would seem there that 9 were being faithless, or God is being faithful in turn. You see, and that's the kind of the rub this morning here. Man being faithless versus God being faithful. And that brings us right to our epistle lesson for today, where Paul says, if we are faithless, God remains faithful. Now, God's part of that equation is the most important part, God remaining faithful. Now, recall it started out with Adam and Eve not being faithful, rather being faithless. They didn't listen to God. They sinned. And so that inclination of sin gets passed on to us all. You know, poor Adam and Eve, they get blamed for everything. Kind of rightfully so, but it gets passed on to us, and that's the hard part there for us. Because you see, that affects us in all kinds of ways. In fact, it disrupts our relationship with God. You know, God should be the top one there on the pole and us on the bottom there. But what happens there, because of that inclination of sin, is that, well, our priorities, our needs start to come first. And so what happens then is that we start to rise on that pole as far as who is most important in our lives, and God ends up down at the bottom, even if he's on the pole at all. You see, it's that lack of caring there that puts our own lives in jeopardy. You see, that kind of problem exists whether a person has faith or not. You see, it sneaks into our lives in all kinds of ways. Well, it might be coming to worship. So one morning you wake up, it's like, you know, this pillow feels so great, I don't think I'm going to come into worship. And then later on when you get out of bed, it's like, you know, Lord, I'm really sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Forgive me. And so the next Sunday, you go to worship. The Sunday after that, though, something else comes up. You've got another activity. It's like, well, I'm going to skip church that day and not come and worship God. And before you know it, that kind of thing gets to be a habit. Because God's not there in your room seeing you, able to talk to you personally like that. It's like, well, you kind of feel like, well, that guilt gets less and less and less. But what happens, though? God's the one who sees that. He sees what's going on. And so he sees there that, well, yes, indeed, we're the ones who are starting to be a little bit less faithful to the Lord. Faithless is the more appropriate word to use. Funny thing about that, though, is that, well, folks begin to see that. But yet at the same time, though, we look at God in his side of the equation there. He's the one who is faithful with us all the time. In fact, Jesus Christ is the most faithful one of all. You know, he's the one who went to his own, but his own did not accept him. But yet, that didn't stop him from being faithful and obedient, even to death on the cross. You see, he was faithful to the Lord and what he wanted to do. He wanted to save us from our sins, and Jesus did that by going to the cross and dying there. And in turn, earning forgiveness for all the times in which we have been faithless to the Lord. And so you see, when we come to worship then, God then works on our hearts. He's working that faith in us and wanting to restore that relationship with us. He's working on us. And when that faith then begins to work on our hearts, well, then we begin to do those good works that God intended for us to do in the first place. So then it becomes easier for us as when someone asked Jesus, what are the most important commandments? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the next one is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, that's what happens then when we become faithful in our relationship to the Lord. And just as people can see we're different than when we're being faithless towards God, they can also see that we are when we're being faithful to to the Lord. They can see it in all kinds of ways. Well, a year or so later, well, it's Donna's birthday again. She wanted to go back to that same restaurant. So I'm thinking, all right, well, not using my debit card this year, so we went to the ATM machine to get some cash out. So what does the ATM machine dispense? 20s, right? So I got a wad full of 20s there, and I'm like, that's not going to fit in my pocket. So I handed all that cash there, and I gave it to Donna. I said, here, keep that in your purse, and so when it comes time to pay, you know, just dig it out, and we'll pay our bill. So we went there, had a nice meal, as always. And there in that dark ambiance of that restaurant there, you know, they handed the bill there, and I said, Donna, it's like, here, give me the cash. And so I counted out the cash, put that in the bill there, walked out the front of the door, started taking some pictures. In fact, the manager was standing there at the door, and I said, hey, do you mind taking pictures of us? He said, hey, no problem. So that way we're all in the picture, got our picture taken, and then we left. Well, on the way home, my cell phone rang. Now, when it's late in the evening like that, and my cell phone rings, well, that usually means it's not good news. Something bad's happened. And so I see it, don't recognize the number, and so I just handed it to Donna since I was driving. I said, you go ahead and answer the phone. And so she does. Turns out it's the manager of the restaurant. Now, he's calling because it's like, he apologized and said that, well, it seems that I didn't pay enough on the bill, that I'd shorted them. Now, I'm thinking to myself, this is the same place that took my debit card, you know, and charged a big deal on it, and I'm thinking, here we go again. But this guy's being rather insistent that we didn't, and so I thought, well, maybe we didn't. So I pull over on the side of the road, and I said, here, Donna, give me the rest of the cash there, you know, because she was holding it there for me. So I counted it out, and there was a lot more there than should have been. And I realized, sure enough, I did short them. So, what do you do at that point in time? Now, the guy had my cell number because I called and made a reservation there, so left that with him, so that was how he's able to get a hold of me. You know, do you be faithful or faithless? Trustworthy or untrustworthy? You know, it's because I could have saved quite a bit of money if I just went on home. Well, I told the manager that I'd turn around and I'd come back and pay him. So that's what we did. It took us about 15 minutes to get back down to where the restaurant was. And so as I pull up in front, he's standing at the door. Now, I'm sure he's thinking, like, oh, yeah, this guy is not going to come back. But I come out, and he starts apologizing to me immediately. I'm so sorry, I have to call. And I'm like, stop. I said, why are you apologizing to me? I said, I'm the one who made the mistake here. So I took the cash and handed it to him. The look on his face was priceless. Now, I share that with you, not because I'm bragging on myself, but what I'm talking about here is that when God works on your heart, he changes you. He changes you in all kinds of ways, ways in which you're not expecting necessarily, but ways in which are pleasing to him in his sight. So there are times then in which it's like, well, the right thing to do is to go back and pay him. It's like, yeah, it was my fault. No big whoop. Now, you're probably thinking about your pastor at this point in time. It's like, man, you're a doofus. You can't count. Well, you'd be right. But nonetheless, though, other people see what you do. And when you're being faithful to the Lord, it just starts oozing out from you and touching all kinds of lives in all kinds of ways. That's what happens when we have a faithful God who sticks with us, loves us, encourages us, sent his Son to make sure that we will have an eternal relationship with him forever. That you can count on, because we have a faithful God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.